Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, friends and fellow bereavers. Thank you for taking this time to be with me today. This is going to be on the shorter side, but I'm praying that it will be a help to you on this unwanted journey we have found ourselves on together. I think one of the hardest things after the death of our child is trying to understand what happened to our relationship with God. Many of us spent years believing that walking closely with Him meant that He would watch over our families, He would answer our prayers and protect us from tragedy. And then the unimaginable happened anyway. And when that happens, it can feel like everything we believed about God has suddenly fallen apart. Over the last few years, the Lord has been quietly teaching me something that has completely changed the way I think about His favor. It's something I have continued to meditate on, and today I want to share it with you because I believe it has the potential to change how we see God in the middle of our grief. As I was reading about Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness, something stood out to me that I had not noticed before. This was a while back. The Israelites witnessed miracle after miracle. They watched God part the Red Sea. They ate manna that fell from heaven. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Time after time, God miraculously provided for them and rescued them. Yet somehow, all of those incredible experiences never turned into lasting faith and trust. Instead, whenever another hardship came along, they questioned God's goodness. They accused Him of bringing them into the wilderness just so they would die there. Moses lived through every one of those same experiences. He faced the same impossible situations. In fact, he was the one leading them. So, I mean, talk about feeling overwhelmed. But instead of doubting God's character, Moses kept running toward Him. No matter what obstacle stood in front of him, he believed that God was still good and could once again make a way where there seemed to be no way. Now, the Israelites could have experienced God's glory just like Moses did. The Lord wanted to be close to them as well, but their bitterness toward Him from going through difficult and seemingly impossible things prevented it. I know it seems like, man, if I were there and I saw all those miracles, I wouldn't keep complaining. I wouldn't keep doubting God. But I can't believe that that's true either, because I'm human just like they were. We may not realize it, but every Christian has the same choice. We, as parents who have lost a child from this earth, we're facing the same choice. It doesn't mean we don't mourn and grieve. It doesn't mean we stop hurting deeply or stop missing our child. But eventually, we do get to the point where we start making the choice of continuing to stay in our pain, being angry, blaming God, you know, coming at Him, which is fine. I mean, that's where a lot of us are, and we need to do that. But we come to a place where we start choosing if we're going to stay in that place, or are we going to ask God for a way out of this place of suffocating darkness? I remember, I've talked about it recently, just sobbing on the floor, telling God, I just want to stop hurting so bad. I finally got to the point where I told God, you know, if you're going to turn this into something good, it's hard to believe that you can take something like the death of my child and that Romans 8 verse that says he, you know, makes all things work out for our good. How are you going to do that, God? But I was bound and determined that there has to be blessings in this. This cannot go to waste. I can't stay like this for the rest of my life, just living in a shell waiting to die. And it was like I like Jacob wrestling with the angel. It's like, I am not going to let you go until I start seeing blessings in my life again. You know, when we see God as a golden ticket to a good life, of course we're going to be angry at bitter in Him when something devastating happens like this. When our desire goes beyond just wanting the physical blessings and constant supernatural protection here on this earth to wanting to actually know God deeply, intimately, to know His ways in the deepest, most intimate way possible, then it is easier to grab Him with everything we have and to wrestle with Him and say, I'm not letting you go until I start seeing blessings in my life again. I don't know how. I don't even know if it's even possible, but I'm going to hang on to you through this. It's like we become like Moses, refusing to go forward without Him. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, Moses makes a request that it's really become one of my favorite prayers. He says, if it's true that you look favorably on me, show me your ways so that I may know you. Think about what Moses was really asking for. He wasn't asking for more miracles. He wasn't asking for an easier life. He wasn't asking God to remove every hardship they would face. He wanted to know God's heart. He wanted to understand God's ways in the middle of the mess. And that tells me that Moses had discovered something that many of us miss. I've come to believe there are two different ways we often think about God's favor. The first is what I would call God's unlimited favor. Now, these are the blessings we naturally pray for and long to receive. Things like protection, healing, provision, open doors, favor with people, freedom from suffering. And these are wonderful gifts from our loving Father. And there's nothing wrong with asking Him for them. But Moses seemed to understand there was something even greater, and that's what I would call God's ultimate favor. And His ultimate favor isn't found in what He gives us. It is found in knowing Him. It's found in walking so closely with Him that His presence becomes more precious than anything He could ever place in our hands or give us here on this earth. Now, as grieving parents, this is where our faith often collides with our pain. They come in conflict with each other, right? If we've unknowingly defined God's favor as keeping tragedy away from us, then when our child dies, it feels as though God's favor has disappeared from our lives. We begin asking questions like, did God stop loving me? Is He punishing me for something? Why didn't He protect my child? Did I somehow lose His blessing? Now, these are honest questions, I know, because I've wrestled with some of them myself. But maybe God's greatest gift has never been a life free from suffering. Maybe His greatest gift has always been the gift of Himself. The Israelites chose to know God through His acts, what He did for them. Moses chose to know God through His ways, who He is. One relationship was built on circumstances. The other was built on God's unchanging character. When life falls apart, circumstances rarely make any sense to us, but God's character never changes. Learning to trust God's heart, even when I can't understand His hand, has become one of the greatest lessons of my journey here on earth. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying this is easy. There are still days when the pain is overwhelming. There are still questions, lots of questions I cannot answer. But I can honestly say that some of the sweetest, deepest moments I have ever experienced with God have happened after Becca transitioned from this life into the next. not because child loss is good. It never will be. But because his presence has become so real to me, more than I ever knew was possible. And I wonder if that's part of what Moses discovered. Maybe that's why he wasn't satisfied with miracles anymore. Maybe he realized that knowing God himself was worth more than all the blessings God could give here on earth. If you're struggling today, which you probably are, don't feel like you need to have perfect faith. None of us do. You don't have to understand everything before you come to Him and just surrender to the circumstances of life, no matter how painful they are, and just say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you through this. Moses' prayer in Exodus 33, verse 13 was, "Now then, I pray, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight." And you can pray the same prayer. You can pray it in even a more simple way. God, show me your ways. Help me to know you more. Even if that's all you can pray today, I believe that is a prayer that God will delight in answering. My prayer for all of us is that our lives would not simply be defined by whether everything goes the way we hoped, but they would be defined by knowing God more deeply than we ever imagined possible, because I believe that is His ultimate favor. Now, last week, I said that information about the GPS Hope and Healing Retreat this coming October in Florida would be coming out soon. And the information is now available. It's up on our website. And I want to encourage you to consider joining us for a relaxing and meaningful time with others who get it. We know there will never be a time when we're over it and our grief is behind us, but we can take intentional steps toward a greater measure of healing, allowing us to live life with hope, light, and purpose again, not in spite of our child's death, but because we want to find a way to live that honors his or her life. We always keep it to a very small group. You'll be able to share your children with each other, laugh together, cry together, and receive a measure of healing together emotionally and spiritually. Rooms are already being booked, so if you're thinking about it, you'll need to check it out soon. Go to gpshope.org/retreat or just click on the link in the show notes. If you have a copy of my book, When Tragedy Strikes, Rebuilding Your Life with Hope and Healing After the Death of Your Child, would you consider taking just a few minutes to help other bereavers find it? This July marks the book's 10-year anniversary, and one of my goals is to reach at least 100 Amazon reviews. If the book has encouraged you or helped you in some way, your rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a brief review could make a real difference for another grieving parent searching for hope. Now, you don't have to have purchased the book through Amazon to leave a review. Whether you bought it directly from us at an event or through our website, you can still review it on Amazon. Simply use the link provided in the show notes to go directly to the review page. Thank you so much for helping this resource continue reaching grieving parents who need to know they are not alone. The Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast is a ministry of GPS Hope, walking alongside bereaved parents with biblical encouragement, practical resources, and a community of others who truly understand. To learn more about our books, online courses, blogs, retreats, and other resources, visit gpshope.org. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. If these episodes have encouraged you and you would like to help us continue reaching grieving parents around the world, we invite you to join our Patreon community. Memberships start at just $5 a month, and every gift helps us continue sharing hope with those who need it most. Visit patreon.com/GPSHope to learn more, or you can find a link in the show notes. Every week, we take time to share the names of our children who have birthdays that week. And here are this week's birthdays. Casey Martinez was born on June 22nd and is forever 19. Alex Doyen was born on June 23rd and is forever 30. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. We know it will always be a day worth celebrating. I consider it an honor to remember your child's birthday with you. If you would like your child added to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday, just go to gpshope.org/birthdays or click on the link in the show notes and submit the needed information. We only announce it the year it's sent in, unless you request it again for the following year, which you can do when Dave sends you an email reminding you to listen that week to hear your child's name. As I think about Moses asking God to show him his ways, I can't help but think of Becca. She no longer has to ask God to reveal himself to her. She sees him face to face. She knows him in a way that you and I can only imagine while we're still living in this broken world. As much as I miss her, I'm reminded that God's ultimate favor has never been about living a life without pain or hardship. Becca certainly didn't avoid suffering. At only age 3 years old, she had her leg amputated and went through 9 months of chemo because of cancer. She experienced severe heart issues as an adult for 10 years because of the damage caused by the chemo, and she died sooner than any parent ever dreams their child will. Like all of us, she lived in a world marked by sin, brokenness, and death. But today, she is experiencing the fullness of God's presence. She's completely beyond the reach of sickness, sorrow, fear, and even Satan himself. Every effect of this fallen world is gone. What we long for by faith, she now knows by sight. Maybe that's another way to think about God's ultimate mercy. So often, we plead for God's mercy to keep our children here with us, and those prayers come from a place of deep love. But now that Becca is with Jesus, she is experiencing the fullness of his mercy, completely free from every weight and every consequence of living in this fallen world. Now that does not lessen my grief. It doesn't make me miss her any less, but it does remind me that God's ultimate favor has always been and always will be knowing him. One day, by his grace, what Becca is experiencing now and what your child is experiencing will become our reality as well. But until then, hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.